Sfarno Parshas Yisro. So the Parsha begins with Yisro coming to greet Moshe. And the Sfarno explains the reason why, if after Yisro heard all these things about Bnei Yisrael and Kriyas Yamsuf and all that, why he waits so long to go greet them. So he says because he was waiting till Moshe got, he knew Moshe was going to Har Sinai, so he waited till he got to Har Sinai because that was the place to go meet him. And of course Yisro went himself because he wanted to be Dor Shelukim. So then Moshe goes out to greet him, and the Sfarno says Moshe was, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was also the king, sort of Klal Yisrael. But since he had a lot of Hakar Satov to Yisro, he went out to greet Yisro. As you're talking about, like, imagine a king going out to greet someone. It's unusual. But since Moshe had Hakar Satov to Yisro, he went out to greet Yisro. Of course, that Hakar Satov is, if you recall, he was running away from Paro all those years. And he was able to find refuge by Yisro. Okay, so then Moshe explains to Yisro what happened to them. And the Sfarno says, when it says, what happened to Paro and Mitzrayim, it's referring to the plagues that they got at Yamsuf. Remember, that's where, according to the Sfarno, the Mitzrayim were hit with sicknesses. They were actually plagues happening to the Mitzrayim at Kriyas Yamsuf and at Makas Bechoros. Both of those, as the Sfarno said, Makas Bechoros and Kriyas Yamsuf were punishments. So there the Mitzrayim were hit, so that's what that meant. And then it says, Vayichad Yisro al Kala Tova. So now this is interesting. It says, Yisro was happy in all the Tova Asher Asa Hashem li Yisrael. The Sfarno makes this like a little bit taina on Yisro. He was happy on the Tova that happened to Klal Yisrael. Not that he was happy that Mitzrayim was destroyed like someone who has a true, you know, kinnah for Hashem, who would be happy that they were destroyed because they rised up against Hashem. Rather, he was happy that, like, the underdog, you know, Klal Yisrael, who had been, you know, persecuted all these years, that they had been vindicated. You know, that they had good things happen to them. Not just, but as a little bit of a taina, not because he had happiness that Hashem's enemies were destroyed. Okay. It says, that's what he was happy about. And also, he realized that it was Hashem who runs the world. Like he says, Hashem is greater than all the gods. Ki badavar, why? Because they had, they were punished with Mida Keneged Mida. So first of all, what's the Mida Keneged Mida? The Mida Keneged Mida is that they tried to kill Klal Yisrael, meaning that they were throwing every firstborn in the sea. So they were drowned in the sea. And in Makas Bechoros, their Bechoros died because Klal Yisrael is called Bnei Bechor Yisrael. So in that way, it was Mida Keneged Mida. Now, this apparently was a big shock that there should be some kind of concept of Mida Keneged Mida, says the Sfarno. It was inconceivable to them because they all worshipped one deity of many or 20 deities or whatever, but they knew that none of them were all powerful. And each one was in charge of one thing. So the notion of Mida Keneged Mida would require you to be in charge of everything because whatever the guy did, you'd have to get him that way. So to have the Mitzrayim be punished, I guess in multiple ways, Mida Keneged Mida, I guess I'm just talking myself here. If someone was drowned in the water, so the water god could get him, but you couldn't also kill the firstborn just like that, or vice versa. Maybe like the god of, I don't know what, Mars or whatever, you know, something with some mazel of death could kill Marcus Bechorus, but they couldn't drown people. I don't know. Whatever it was, the fact that Mida Keneged Mida was meted out to them in different ways, and it showed that there was an all-powerful one who was running everything and could get the Mida Keneged Mida in whatever way necessary. Okay, then they went and they ate Olos Vachim Lokim, and they sat Lech Alechim in Chosein Moshe. Why? Because he became a ger. It was like a Sudas Mitzvah made for Yisro because he became a ger. Okay, later it says, Vayishlach Moshe Es Chosno, V'yilech Lo El Arzo. So Sfarno says he didn't want to go with them to Eretz Yisrael, maybe because he was too old. But certainly his children went there, because we know that the Bnei Keni, that was Yisro's family, they were in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so later we have Hashem talks to Klal Yisrael. Well, Hashem talks to Moshe to tell Klai Yisrael, Kosom el Beis Yaakov, Vesavi el Bnei Yisrael, Atam Rizim Yisrael, what I did to Mitzrayim, Vesa Eschem HaKam Finisharim, I brought you to me, and listen to this, this is a very hashkafically important tzvarno. It says, V'atayim Shemoa Tishma'u B'Kali, the Pasuk says, if you listen to me, V'shmartim as Brisi, you'll keep my bris, V'yisim li segula mikol ha'amim, you'll be for me a treasure amongst all the nation, Ki li kol ha'aretz, because the whole earth is mine. How do you understand that flow over there? If you will listen, if you call Yisrael, will listen to me, Mishmartim is Brisi, you follow my bris, you keep my bris. V'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim, that kind of means, and then you will be a segula to me, mikol ha'amim, you'll be special to me from all the nations. Ki li kol ha'aretz, because I own the whole earth. What does because I own the whole earth have to do with anything? Ready for this? So, the Sforno explains that even though the entire human race is precious to Hashem, it's not like animals, the entire human race is precious to Hashem. It's just Klai Yisrael, if they keep his Torah, will be specialer. Ki li kol ha'aretz, meaning the whole land is to me, and I care about all of them. And the say, like he says, the Chasidei Umas Olam are very yakar to Hashem, without any doubt. But Klai Yisrael would be a segula mikol ha'amim. They'd be like the extra special. Like, kind of like we said before, B'nei B'chori Yisrael. Like, the most special. So that's how you read it. V'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim, you'll be a special nation to me, from all the other nations. But Kili kol ha'aretz, the whole aretz is to me, and I care about the whole aretz. And we're not done. Next pasuk, V'atem ti'ibliu mamlechas kohanim v'goy kodesh. You will be for me a nation of kohanim, of those who are Ovid Hashem, and a holy nation. So he says, Bazeh ti'eskula mikulam, says the Sforno, you'll be a treasure from all of them. Kitiu mamlechas kohanim, you'll be a kingdom of kohanim. Lahavin ulahoros lachol hamin haenoshi, to teach to the whole human race, likro kulam b'shem Hashem, la'avdo shchem echad, that they should all call out to Hashem and serve God. K'moshiyah inyin Yisrael asidavu, like Klai Yisrael will be when Mashiach comes. As it says, v'atem kohane Hashem tikareu, ch'amro ki mitzion teitzara. So we have, just like it's a little bit of a hashkafic interesting thing, that Hashem cares about the whole human race. It's just Klai Yisrael is his segula. And then when Mashiach comes, we'll be the ones to teach the whole world to serve Hashem. But it does sound like it's even our mission now to be, maybe not with direct teaching, perhaps, maybe indirect, isn't just showing by example, I don't know, but to teach the whole human race to serve Hashem. Okay, then we have the whole introduction to Maimon Har Sinai. And it says in Pasuk Tes that Hashem is going to speak to Moshe, Bavur Yishma Ha'am B'Dabri Yimach V'Gam B'Chai Yaminu La'olam. So Hashem says, I'm going to speak to you, Moshe, and then everyone will trust that you're my prophet. So the Sforno explains that people believed in Nevuah. Klai Yisrael believed in Nevuah. They didn't need any proof to know that there were Nevi'im in the world. They had the Avos and Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. They're all Nevi'im. But all the Nevuah that had happened till now was all in a dream or in a Mara, where they're not in control of themselves. But the level that Moshe reached, Panim al Panim, that they couldn't believe a person could do and live, like where the person could just be walking around and talking to God. That level of Nevuah, where the person's fully in control of their senses and talking to Hashem, that they did not think was possible. When they saw it could be, so then they knew Moshe had reached a super high level and Hashem had talked to him. Okay, then we have the Aseres Adibra. So, Anochi, Hashem Elokecha, Asher Etzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim. So the Sforno says that means, I am Hashem, I give existence. Elokecha is, I am Hashem, your God, that is, I have a direct connection with you, you don't need any middlemen. Asher Hotzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of Mitzrayim with totally miraculous ways. That shows you don't need middlemen. Like, nature is a middleman. Hashem doesn't need to manipulate nature. Hashem just forgets about nature because he's Hashem. He can do what he wants. And therefore, that shows you don't need a middleman. You can just go straight to Hashem because there's nothing that stands in the way. Okay, just skip along. So the Sforno says, what does it mean, lakacho? He says you have to make it that you can, you have to remember Shabbos lakacho. That is, you have to set yourself up for success. Set your week up that on Shabbos you'll be able to not think about the week and just focus on Shabbos. His words are, Hizir shiyasader ha'adam asaka v'meha maisa, set yourself up during the week, during the work week, ba'ofen shuchel asiach daita mehem b'yom ha'shabbos, such that you'll be able to not think about them on Shabbos. You have to make your work schedule to make it that you'll be able to think about Shabbos on Shabbos and not be distracted by work. So that's Zachar es yom ha'shabbos, l'kadosh. Remember Shabbos to be mekadoshet, remember during the week. Okay, and the pasuk says this Shabbos l'Hashem elokecha. So he says it's kul Hashem. It's supposed to be all for Hashem, to learn Torah, to have oneg, for kvod Hashem, not for your stomach. And you know, puts you in a good mood. You can learn better. You can connect to Hashem better, daven better. And as he says, and what's the purpose, right? You should rest on the seventh day. Ki sheshis yom emasa Hashem es shemayim es aretz. So you have to. It's to become like Hashem. Hashem rested on the seventh day, so you rest on the seventh day, not just resting. He says, "She yidme ha'adam laboro." You're supposed to be like God, kefi ha'efsher, v'zeh be'iyun u'betalmud u'bemaisa bechiri. That is through thought, strong learning, like not surface level learning, a real putting your mind to your learning, and doing the proper actions, maisa bechiri, doing the right actions. Then you meaning the ones that are the ratzon lefanav, then you become like Hashem. So, when Hashem did that over the 6 days, made up a world that would lead to that, and set up in the way that would lead to reaching that level. Again, not he didn't set up Olam Haba, but he set up the world that it should be able to lead to that world, and therefore he rested on the seventh day, when all the avodah had been done, because when there's shleimus, there is menucha. Okay, then just briefly, the chamish, the first five are ben adam lamakom, including kabed esavicha, because that's like Hashem, you're supposed to respect the one who created you. But the five last ones are his words, shalayin nazik la'adam begufo, bechvodo, bebemono. You shouldn't hurt someone, not in their body, not in their honor, not in their money, not with words, not with actions, and not with thought. Some of those come out of losach mode. So you can hurt someone with your thought. So I don't know if he means by ayin hara, because you'll be you'll be jealous of his stuff, and or it means that you'll be thinking about how to get it away from him. But either way, to not hurt someone b'chvodo, it's interesting. Does he mean gufo? Certainly means losir tzach, you would think. Mamono certainly means losigzal. In between gufo and mamono, he says kvodo. Is that referring to low enough? Not sure. But anyway, any kind of hurting of someone else, that's what the last dibros are. Okay, and he says, in explaining Losachman, he said that the something that's not yours should be something completely impossible for you to get. Like the famous Ibn Ezra, that it's like the princess with the king. I mean, the princess with the peasant. You don't desire things that are absolutely impossible. So it should be like that. It shouldn't be jealous of something that's just not completely not shayach to you. That's the way you should view it. If Hashem didn't give it to you, it's not shayach to you. Okay, then at the end we have Mizbeach Adama Tasili. Making a Mizbeach to Hashem out of Adama. Why? This is great. This Frono says, because Hashem doesn't need fancy palaces to serve him. You don't have to be rich to serve Hashem. Use a Mizbeach Adama, that's fine. You don't have to make a fancy thing to serve Hashem. Mizbeach Adama is fine, but you know the way up, you can't have steps. That's considered a certain Kalas Rosh. So no, even though you're making something, you can make something not so fancy. That's okay, but don't take it lightly. Don't have any Kalas Rosh. You have to have the same. You have to have a Kovid Rosh when you're serving Hashem, a seriousness and an awe of Hashem. But it doesn't have to be because you're rich. You can even be a Mizbeach Adama is enough to serve Hashem.